biggest lesson is that everything is possible. Everything. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what is your background. It doesn't matter if you're a man and a woman or what's your religion. Everything is possible.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I'm excited, you guys. I'm about to be in Estonia, and I'm here sitting with Katie. Katie and I got connected, and we both attended the Slush conference that I've been talking about for a while in Helsinki, Finland. And so I'm really excited to bring her story to you. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
So tell me, Katie, go ahead and introduce yourself and your company, and tell us a little bit about your passion for tech.
I'm Estonian. And Estonia is considered to be one of the tech-savviest countries on Earth. So my story started 20 years ago when I was hired by the Estonian government, and I was the first IT lawyer in state.
Really?
Yeah, I was the first grad student in law school. And we just gained our independence, and we were rebuilding the country, or building up the country, and we started to build up the state information system. So my first task was to work out the Estonian Digital Signatures Act with amazing tech people and lawyers.
So we're going a little bit too fast, because some people may not be aware what you mean when you say you just recently discovered freedom.
Okay.
Like, what is it?
Yeah.
What is that about?
Yeah. Estonia, as a small country, was part of the Soviet Union. And because of the Second World War, we lost our independence and we became part of the Soviet Union. And early in the 90s, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and the other countries gained back their independence. And we had to start to rebuild the country and to catch up kind of the history and the economy and the independence what we haven't had the chance to enjoy for 50 years. So it's about building our own government, building our own presidency, building our own currency, building our own symbolic, and really building up the country again. So
and this is only like since what, approximately 1991 or
1991, yes, yeah. It's like 25 years ago. So actually, this is one of the reasons why especially my generation is really fortunate, because we were very young and we had to take the responsibility of building up the country and taking the positions leading the country towards the wonderful successful future. And as a two very wonderful combinations of, first of all, Estonia was one of the tech hubs in Soviet Union. And the other is that when we gained independence, we had the brains, but we had no legacy on the machines and servers and computers. And we happened to have really rich neighbors like Finland and Sweden and Norway around us. So with the brains and with the newest technology, we built up the e-Estonia and e-government, which is now one of the brands of Estonia.
Yeah. First of all, this e-residency program,
yeah.
When I discovered it at Slush, it blows my mind.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about, I mean, any especially American entrepreneur, should know that this exists.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes, it is a big thing, and I think Estonia is one of the countries which is always looking to the future, and because of having population with 1.3 million people, when we do something, we don't do it only for our country, but we do it and we take the broader approach, and 10, 15, 20 years time, we're going to have our own country as the globe or the earth. We're going to be the citizens of the earth. We're going to live global lives, and Estonia has been thinking about it. So the e-residency program is built up on the Estonian e-identity card. Each Estonia has e-identity card, which is a small card which gives you the identification in all digital worlds, plus gives you the ability to sign documents digitally. And as we introduced it in the country, and it was a great success, and it's kind of a key to all e-services and governmental services and access to the banks, we decided, why not? Should we limit it only with the Estonians, but we should also give the e-residency through the e-residency program to any citizens in the world so they could become e-residents of Estonia.
Because doesn't that make the economy in Estonia stronger?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And that's the point. So people who have e-residency card, they can set up a company in Estonia. And for example, Estonian companies have no income tax.
Yeah.
And you can establish the company online without visiting Estonia. You can open up a bank account in Estonia. So it's a really good opportunity for the digital nomads, the digital entrepreneurs,
right,
to set up a company here in this region and start running the business online.
I know, it was amazing. It reminded me of some of the programs that Ireland has and how Ireland's always encouraging other countries to think of Ireland in order to have a European presence, and now Estonia is offering that same kind of resource, and it seems like a lot more accessible too.
It is.
Like, isn't the Estonian government trying to make it so right now if you want to have e-residency you have to come to Estonia in order to have that, but they're trying to make it so you don't even have to come?
No, you don't have to come to Estonia.
Oh, you don't?
Already a couple of months ago you don't have to come to Estonia.
Oh, since a couple of months. Oh, well.
You can go to any Estonian embassy in your country and apply for the e-residency, and as much as I know, it's already, you can start it online, and you can start it applying online, and then it takes a bit the next official steps, but it's accessible to everyone.
What are some of the benefits for having e-residency?
As I mentioned, it is the ease of establishing the company, it's the ease of establishing opening up a bank account in the European region. It's the ease of accessing all the e-services. For example, in Estonia, the companies pay taxes online, people pay taxes online, and for me, it took last year 3.5 minutes to declare my taxes. So everything is because we have this infrastructure that enables us to use the services online, and also for the government and private sector to provide the services online.
When did you first become interested in technology?
I think it was the coincidence that the government hired me as the first IT lawyer, because I studied law, but I never thought about technology, so I was kind of jumping into the unknown, and then I became interested, and after I worked as after working as a government IT lawyer, I joined the Estonian Central Securities Depository and then the Nasdaq stock markets, and this is also all about technology. So after being the CEO of both of the institutions, I decided now it's time to set up my own company and to become a tech entrepreneur.
And tell me about your company now.
The company is called Funderbeam, and Funderbeam operates startup stock markets. So
can you spell that for us? Funderbeam?
Funderbeam, Funderbeam.
Perfect, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Funderbeam.com. And it is the first stock market, operating stock market, that is using blockchain as underlying technology.
And that's like the new right now. Everybody's talking about blockchain.
Yes, yes, it is the new. And the blockchain as a technology is actually meant for the secure transactions. So when the internet is meant for exchanging the information, then the blockchain is kind of the above it. And then it's meant for really transacting the assets, recording the assets. It's the perfect ledger, and it's the perfect trust carrying institution, if we can say it, between the countries, between the jurisdictions, between the big corporations. There's always the question around the blockchain and blockchain solutions is, does the blockchain really make the business easier and the business more meaningful? And in the financial sector, I think that the blockchain does. As I said, it's the carrier of the trust.
When was your company founded?
We founded it 3 years ago. And we built first the data analytics of the startups, because before people started investing into the startups and trading with the startups, they need to understand what's happening in the market. It is the brand new industry for most of us, or for most people in the planet. Those who are very tech-oriented and in the tech, they know what the startups are and they know the big names, but the people around it, they first need to browse around the information. And then when we heard about the blockchain and we tested the blockchain, then we understood it's now time also to build the funding and the trading platform. So we launched the funding and trading middle 2016.
So this term blockchain has been coming up a lot. What is blockchain exactly?
When I talk about the blockchain, I always ask, and especially when I'm in front of the audience, I ask, how much do you know about the internet technology? And I see only a couple of hands raise up. So I say, okay, so it's not important to understand technology deeply, but it is important to understand the impact of the technology. And the impact of the internet is exchange information and you exchange data. So everything, all the services that built on the internet, the government services, the whatever, we start from Facebook to Twitter to everything, it's because of this technology. And now the blockchain technology should enable us to exchange assets, which is even more secure. So the technology is built in a way that whatever is recorded in this ledger, and blockchain, in other words, is also called open ledger. It is there, it's safe, it's unbreakable, and you can't mess up things that's written there. So we have to also understand that the technology doesn't do the miracle. The miracle is done by the services built on the technology. And now that the technology is sort of ready to be tested, there are a couple of interesting service providers who built the services on the blockchain.
What's interesting to me is that you went from not knowing anything about IT to being a master of really how the internet functions and is built. How do you go from knowing nothing to being so masterful today? Like, what were the steps you took to get there?
It all happens without any intentions, but my luck was to work with the brightest minds.
Right.
And even when I work with Funderbeam and Funderbeam team, it's the main task for the CEO to build up the team that is so strong that you as a CEO are the dumbest person in the room.
That's something Richard Branson says often. Yes. Always have a team that's smarter than you.
Yes, and it is. And then you learn from these people. So if I should explain in details how the blockchain technology works, then maybe I would mess up something. But I I've been talking a lot with the CTO and our people who know it deeply, and I do understand what is the future of blockchain, how the blockchain actually works, what are still the problems around the blockchain, and it's enough for me to make this kind of decisions. But when I really need to ask something detailed, then I go to the person that is three times smarter than me, and I get the answer. It's kind of working with a living encyclopedia.
It's kind of like an internal mentorship program.
Yeah, you can say it so.
Have you had a mentor like going through your technology career?
No.
Really? Interesting.
No, I haven't. But as I say, to work with the brightest minds,
right,
it's kind of working with tens of mentors.
No, completely. And what's next for you? Where do you want to take your company from here?
We just launched it, and we see that there's a huge need for startups to be listed, to be tradable. There's a need for the angels and startup investors to have liquidity. We've been approached by main stock markets already, so we want to become the global pre-IPO market.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's we started the story with the small Estonia, which local markets is only 1.3 million. So when you build something, you build it from the beginning with a global approach. So we have to have ambitions.
100%. What would you say your calling is? Like, the one thing in life that you're the best at and you're the most passionate about?
I think I have the appetite to live and make things happen.
Man, I love that answer. That's a nice answer. How can people look you up and connect with you?
They can follow me on Twitter. It's Kaidiru, Kaidiru. It's the Facebook, Kaidiru Saleb. LinkedIn, Kaidiru Saleb. I'm really happy to connect with people and share the story.
And your domain, like the URL?
Thunderbeam.com.
What's one lesson you've learned about yourself in achieving your dreams?
I think the biggest lesson is that everything is possible. Everything. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what is your background. It doesn't matter if you're a man and a woman, or what's your religion, everything is possible.
I completely agree. Katie, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast and on this ferry and making it possible. It's really, really nice hearing your story.
Thanks. And go and come visit us in Estonia. Come visit Thunderbeam and come and smell the hungry of young country to really be visible and to be the tech visible.
Totally. Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.